Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What's going on here in our scripture? It is simply this. Suffering comes to Job, and so many times suffering comes to you and me when we do not deserve it, at least as much suffering that is brought about, because we're being tested to see if we love God for himself and for himself alone, or we love him for the goodies, the help, the blessing that we can get from him.
The truth is, God's word never promises prosperity. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, A Search for the Meaning of Suffering, and shares proven truth to help you find God's presence and purpose in the midst of pain. Stay with us. The Winning Walk is starting in just a moment. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So, we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Search for the Meaning of Suffering, Part 2.
Now look at satanic activity. God says, "What have you been up to, Satan?" And Satan says, "I've been going to and fro. I've been wandering around all over the world." And Satan can do that with supernatural power. Satan can go from Australia to the North Pole just in a blink of your eye. He said, "I've been wandering around all the world." Now, God knew his agenda. Satan's agenda is to destroy. It's to thwart the plans of Almighty God and to destroy his sons and his daughters. That's his plan. That's his agenda. And he is faithful, and he's continuously at that particular assignment in rebellion against Almighty. "What have you been up to, Satan?" "I've been going to and fro, confusing, lying, deceiving, killing, taking out those who would be followers of yours or those who are followers of yours." And then God says to Satan, an amazing thing to me. He says, "Satan, do you know my main man, Job? You know, I'd just as soon God wouldn't bring my name into this." I don't know about you. Have you consider my main man Job? And then God affirms what we've already read. He is blameless. He fears me. He's the greatest man in the East. In other words, he says, "Satan, Job loves me. Have you seen Job in your trolling around?" And Satan says, "Oh yeah. Yeah, I've tried to get it, Job. But God, you've put a hedge around him. And that hedge is so thick, I can't get to him. You've put a hedge around him and around all of his children, around all his possessions, around all of his animals. You've so hedged in your guy, Job. You've been giving him penthouse treatment. And I can't get to him. But says Satan, if you'll just take that hedge down and let me get my hands on him, he will curse you to your face. You think he loves you? Let me take away all the stuff you have given him, and he'll curse you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is doing what? He's questioning the motives of Job. He said, oh yeah, Job is godly and he's wealthy and he's a wonderful dad. But let me tell you something. He is serving you and he says he loves you and worship, oh Lord, because of the benefits he's getting. A question of motive. Let me tell you something. You can't prove your motives are good or bad. Nobody can. Nobody can about anything. Just can't do it. It's impossible. Now, you could accuse me of stealing a car. I could prove to you, I hope that I didn't steal your car. But you say, hey, your motives are shabby. You're preaching that sermon. They pay you a salary. We pay you. You work for me. Man, you're preaching for money. I can't prove that you're right or I can't prove you're wrong. Motives. So he challenges God. Satan challenges God and puts God in what seems to be a box. Man, just let me get to him. You know what God did? This is another staggering thing. God says, okay, you can put your hands on him. You can deal with him any way you want to, but don't touch his health. Don't touch his mind. Don't touch his body. Now, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But right now, this is the deal that God limits Satan. Remember, God limits Satan at this moment as to what is he going to do with Job. In limitation, God says, okay, get him. Pew. Curtain comes down. Whew. Act 2. Satan attacks, and he attacks swiftly. Now he can get through that hedge. By the way, let me say something to everybody here. I think every believer, a man or a woman or a teenager in Christ, we have a hedge around us. And I think that hedge, evil cannot get to us. We have freedom of choice. We can give an entree to that evil sometimes. We can give the devil a chance to deal with us. For example, Ephesians 4:26, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if the sun goes down your anger, or you go to sleep and you're angry at somebody, you are giving the devil a chance to get to you because you're angry, because you hold grudges. If you're holding grudges today, you're giving an opening in your life, even as a believer, for old Slewfoot to get in there and to destroy your life. See? But there's a hedge around us. And generally speaking, that hedge is intact. And I pray all the time that God put a hedge around my son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter. I pray for those hedges. God, keep that hedge intact. But now the hedge is down. And Satan attacks Job. And boy, he attacks swiftly. And Job is seated and a messenger comes in, one of his servants. And he says, Job, the Sabaeans have come and attacked. And they have taken away all the oxen and all the donkeys and killed all the servants who were looking after them. And the Bible says, while he was still telling Job about the attack of the Sabaeans, another servant comes in and said, oh, Job, lightning has struck. There was a lightning storm and all your sheep, 7,000 of them, were herded together and lightning came and killed every one of them. And all the servants with him, I was the only one that survived. And while he was still talking, another servant came in and said, the Chaldeans have come with three different attacking points. And they had come and killed all the servants and taken away all your camels. And then while he was still reporting, another servant came in broken and says, "Oh, Job, you'll not believe what happened. Your seven sons and your three daughters, they were having a celebration together of the birthday of one of your son, and a tornado came and killed all of your kids. They're dead." And all the servants who were there. Bam! Zip, 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 zip. Job goes from the richest, greatest, most pious man in the East to someone who is destitute on the streets. He's lost it all. Then the Bible tells of how Job reacts to this. Listen to it. All of heaven is waiting to see. They know about the contest between God and Satan. And Job is the ping pong ball that God and Satan are hitting back to one another. And now all of heaven and all of hell and all the universe waits to see how Job will respond. Was Satan right? Was he serving God because of what he could get out of God so he could be the teacher's pet? Or did he love God for himself alone? Who was right? And we see the response here. Job says, after he lost it all, verse 20, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Cursed? No, blessed be the name of the Lord.'" What did Job do? Job went into sorrow. Nothing wrong with sorrow. We try to hold it back. Oh, you've got to keep it simple. Oh, you've cried enough. Oh, no. Man, that's genuine sorrow. He'd lost all his possessions. He'd lost all of his kids. Whew. Just like that. Just like that. So he shaved his head. Tore his robe, would have put dirt over his head, fell down in the dirt, face down, a broken man, a humble man, a penniless man, a pauper, suffering, suffering. But then what did he do? He said, he looked back. He said, "You know, when I was born, I came in this world naked." By the way, everybody came in this world naked. Do you remember that? Are you aware of that? There's not a single one of here came. Every one of us came in the world naked. He looked back. He said, "Man, I didn't come in this world with anything." And then he looked ahead to his death. He said, "Guess what? I'm going to leave this world naked." Right? Anybody want to debate that? Paul said to Timothy, "You can't take it with you." Paraphrase. That's what he said. That's what Job was saying. He said, "I came in naked, I'm going to leave naked." He looked back. He looked ahead to his death. Then he looked up to God and he said, "But God, I want to thank you for the stuff that I had, for the children I enjoyed, for the life that I lived. I want to thank you for that and praise you for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, what happened here? Remember, the very opposite of what Satan wanted to take place, didn't it? Satan said, "Man, let me take all this stuff and his family away and he'll curse God to his face." Satan took it all away and he blessed God and praised God in the midst of suffering that no one here, perhaps I pray, will ever have to endure. It was all reversed. And Job came out a man of stature, a man who not was a fraud, a man not who was a phony, but a man who was the real thing. Steadfast, a hero, a godly man. Loving God for himself alone, not just for what he was getting from God as God was blessing him when he had that penthouse lifestyle. Now, when you walk out on the turf of Job, you will. Everybody here will walk on Job's turf. Yeah? Sure. Young, old, middle. Some of you have already walked on Job's turf. Some of you are walking on Job's turf right now. A lot of us, different situations. Now, when you're walking on Job's turf, I want to remind you that sometimes when tough times come, we deserve it. That's right. Somebody who's been abusive of themselves or others, somebody who has been profane, somebody who has been godless, somebody who has kicked people when they were down, somebody who was conniving, somebody who was an ongoing slanderer, somebody who has totally deceived and lied and lived according to the flesh. When tough times come, you deserve it because of choices you've made or choices I've made. That's just the way this world works, ladies and gentlemen. So when tough times come, don't say, oh Lord, I don't understand why this happened to me. Just check the choices yesterday and see. Sometimes when tough times come, we don't deserve it. But sometimes when tough times come, we deserve it, and sometimes we don't deserve it. And we don't deserve it, but we still give the religious answer to tough times. We give the moralistic answer. Oh, Lord, I'm going to plug in some new worship stuff, and I'm going to get my life straightened out. Maybe you'll give me some good stuff again, you know. We don't deserve. Or maybe we get cynical with cynicism. Well, Lord, I just know that life is a gamble and I've just been lucky, or I'm just going through a period of bad luck. There's a cynical response. When suffering comes, we don't deserve. And there's a moralistic response. Oh, I'm going to do better when suffering comes. But neither one of those responses are a biblical response. What's going on here in our scripture? It is simply this. Suffering comes to Job, and so many times suffering comes to you and me when we do not deserve it, at least as much suffering that is brought about, because we're being tested to see if we love God for himself and for himself alone, or we love him for the goodies, the health, the blessing that we can get from him. You see, if stuff, even family and friends and all the stuff that we gather around, when suffering comes, it pulls us away from all that stuff, doesn't it? That stuff doesn't seem important because we're broken. We're separated. All that was big yesterday, when suffering comes, makes no difference today. And we're isolated. And we're lonely. We're shameful. Suffering just takes us away from people and stuff, and then we find out whether or not we love God for himself alone. Just love God for himself alone. Only suffering can teach you that. Only suffering can teach me that. We cannot learn it any other way. You see, if we love God for himself alone, when we are suffering and we remove from family and stuff and we move over here, it forces us to move closer to God, who's always trying to move closer to us. You see it? It forces us. It drives us into the love of God. Job was the real thing. His motives were genuine. So many times that's not true in this world. Here's a guy who's dating this girl. He says all the right words. She thinks maybe he's the right one, but she refuses to sleep with him. Therefore, he says, she's not going to give me it. Therefore, I'm walking away. His motives were corrupt. People go to church and say, well, I go to church to worship God, but I want a network up there in the church. You meet a lot of people, a lot of contacts, and I can do a lot of business up there. I'm networking when I'm in church. Motives. But you see, when we pull away from family and friends and stuff, and suffering forces us to do that, then we determine whether or not we love God for himself alone, or we love God for what he does for us, for that hedge he puts around us, for the blessings that he gives us. Suffering drives us into the love of God. Now, let me tell you something. How in the world did Job know that God loved him unconditionally? You see, Satan's a liar. When Satan comes and tells God, like he did about Job, hey, this guy, this girl, they're not real. They are loving you for what they can get out of you. God doesn't believe it. He knows that's partially true, right? It's partially true. But God doesn't believe the lie of that Satan tells about you and me. God knows there's more to you and more to me than that. That's a little bit, but that's not all of us. God sees through the lie of Satan. By the same token, Satan comes to you and me and lies about God and says, how in the world can God love you and you're going through all of this? You think God loves you? You can't. Look what's happened to family, kids, vocation, your resources, your retirement. Man, God doesn't love you. We tend to believe it when Satan lies to us about the love of God. And the only way we can discover whether or not we love God for God alone is to go through tough times. And sometimes we go through tough times, we don't deserve it. Sometimes we go through tough times and we deserve it. But every time we go through tough times, God is up to something. God is teaching us something. How did Job know that God loved him unconditionally? Man, if you'd been Job back there in those patriarchal years, how in the world did he know when everything was wiped out that God still loved him? I don't know. I don't know how Job knew that. But see, we're way ahead of Job. We're way ahead of Job. How would you and I know that God loves us unconditionally when we go through tough times? We get in the deep end of the pool and we're sinking. When we're in the bottom of a pit that's dark and there's no way out, how do we know God loves us? Oh, we're way ahead of Job. We know God loves us because of the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. We know that. We know that. Suffering drives us like nothing else into the love of God.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's 4-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow to hear proven truth from Dr. Ed Young about how you can show God's love and grace to those who are in pain.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.